Welcome to episode 26 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today, I'm talking with someone who's somewhat of a unicorn in the VO world. And by that, I mean his career has skyrocketed very, very quickly. I'm talking about Joe Zija. He went from a career in the government, experience in the military, to living in LA, voicing for video games, and way more. You're in for a treat. Listen in. Joe Zija, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so I want to start off by asking you, how did you find voiceovers?
I found voiceovers through online casting in general. I was actually talking with a friend of mine online one day. I was on duty as a reservist on a Saturday, and there was nobody else in the office. And I was talking to a friend of mine online, and I said, you know what I've always wanted to try? Voice acting. And now I'm thinking video games and animation.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, my company used to hire voices from this website. You should check it out. So I did, and I had some audio equipment from being sort of a hobbyist musician. And I booked the first thing I auditioned for, and it just really just snowballed. Within 18 months, I had quit my job and taken it on full time. And then about 8 months after that, I moved to LA to hunt the big stuff.
Man, you are a unicorn, because that's really not the way it typically goes for people.
It's been super weird. Like, it really, like, I don't understand how this all happened. There's not a day I don't wake up and I'm like, are you serious?
That's crazy. So you mentioned a little bit about your military background. How has that influenced your voiceover career?
It's taken a lot of the stress off, to be completely honest with you. I find it really difficult to be nervous in front of people that aren't four-star generals. And if I'm not talking about war, you know, like once you brief people on, you know, things that are going to cause death and destruction, a voiceover session is just not that threatening. So it's helped me kind of stay calm.
Grounded.
Grounded is for one. I mean, sure, everyone has problems with their ego, but for the most part, I try not to be like an actor, because I've been in a different world. It's also really helped with my organization business sense, just being disciplined and being organized and, you know, getting up before 10 o'clock. And I find that it's easier for me to like make goals and reach them.
So do you do that? Do you give yourself like high level goals and then break it down into little goals? And
I've been known to do that. Yeah. You know, the way I used to do strategic air operations planning and then break it down into, you know, little goals like targets. Like if I want to blow something up, you know, does that achieve the part of the overall strategic objective? So yeah, there have been times in my career where I've been like, okay, I feel like I'm kind of spiraling right now. What am I trying to do? And then I'll look really high level and be like, okay, I want to be booking here, or I want to be doing this. What can I control in this scenario? Because most of the time you can't control a whole lot. You can't control whether or not you book ever. Yeah. So when like voice actors, I'm like, well, what do you want to do? And they're like, I want to book more. I'm like, you can't control that. What do you want to do? You know, I can control things like making sure that I'm working with a reputable coach, developing impressions and character voices on my own, making sure I'm working on my craft a certain amount of time every day, giving myself good space for family so that I'm in a good mental space. Like all of those are tactical level goals that I can use to reach the strategic ones.
But how do you know? Do you market yourself? I mean, how do you know what you can do that's going to move the needle?
I don't market very much. I've never cold called or emailed for the most part. There was a time where I tried that for a very short period of time. I found it very unfulfilling, very annoying to do. The marketing is not my thing. It's never been my thing. I am out in LA now just booking stuff and like using those bookings to create relationships and looking at the big picture. You know, there are times where I made a friend when I was still on the East Coast. He ended up being one of my coaches and then a good friend after that. And then suddenly he moved out to LA and is like the head of casting for a major video game company. And he's hired me a couple times for it. And it's like, that's not what I was trying to do, right? It's never like, oh, I'm going to get in with this person because they can do something for me. No, me and him clicked. We really clicked on a personal level. And, you know, the other stuff is just gravy. I made a good friend. That was the best part of it.
So do you stay in touch with your clients then?
You know, it depends on the kind of client. My corporate clients, maybe not as much because they're very much fire and forget. They're like, dude, record this. And I'm like, okay, here it is. And they're like, thanks, great. That's the extent of that relationship. The clients that bring me more work, yeah, I have good relationships with them. you know, we don't talk anywhere else other than email, but you know, we'll joke around, and I would consider meeting them for lunch if they were in town. The LA perspective, it's kind of like a whole different career from like an online corporate career. And those are the slower roll relationships where you meet somebody and then you either hit it off or you don't. I went golfing with a director a couple weeks ago. I don't really golf, but we have a good time because we're friends. You know, like I'll go board gaming with a couple of people, and it's just, you find the good people, and you're here to build relationships, because relationships are valuable from like a universal soul kind of way, not in a you can make me money kind of way.
I appreciate what you're saying, because even beyond relationships with clients, it's, you know, how do you relate to the copy? How do you relate to yourself? At the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is connection, right?
Right.
So when you started in voiceovers, did you have a vision as to what your voiceover career would look like?
Dude, I had no idea what voiceover was. Like, I didn't know what voiceover was a word, or that people got paid for it all the time. It didn't really dawn on me until after I started doing it. I was like, oh yeah, someone has to read that stuff and someone has to pay them for it. I really had no idea what it was before I started. So there was no goal really in mind. It ended up being like a couple of months after I started, I kind of came upstairs, and then, you know, working in the government, it has its perks. It can be exciting, but it's also, you know, it's a large, violent, bureaucratic organization. So that never sat well with me. I don't like working for people. I don't like working where there's red tape. And I was never very happy. Like it was fulfilling at moments, but I would never have said that like I was truly happy. And so I was always looking for an out. I thought that writing was going to be my out, but then all of a sudden I discovered voiceover. And I remember coming up just like maybe 3 or 4 months after I started, and I was talking to my wife, and I said, "Hey, I think this could be it. This could help me work for myself." And it was weird, because I started talking with other people. I'm sure, are you familiar with J. Michael Collins?
Yeah.
He's such a great guy, and he was one of my earliest mentors. And I would call him up like weekly and be like, "Dude, is this real? Is this sustainable? What's going on? Is this a real career that I can do? Can I quit my job? Is that reasonable?" Because I've always been focused on stability and all that stuff. So it was hard for me to let go. So no, I didn't have any really goals in mind, except from a financial standpoint. Like, can I sustain myself working from home? Get to see my wife, and I only had one kid at the time. Like, that's awesome. And that became my goal. It was like, okay, I can work for myself, and that sounds great.
So then you moved out to LA, and now what's the percentage of time that's spent in video animation versus corporate versus commercial and promo?
You know, it totally changes week to week. Last week, Monday and Tuesday, I was like dying by the end of the day, because I was bouncing around from studio to studio doing gig to gig. I had like 3 video game sessions in one day. It was insane. This week, it has been like utterly silent. I haven't done anything except my corporate work. So I would say that, you know, the corporate stuff, my personal clients, still really represents 80% of my work. Mm-hmm. And the LA stuff represents the rest.
Do you have a specific genre in VO that you prefer voicing in? Video games, cartoons, promos, and why?
I love video games. I love them. They've always been my passion since I was very little. I love the medium and the things that it can do. I'm a big proponent of storytelling and the way that stories shape our lives and the way that we interact with the people around us. And I think that the way that video games tell stories is very unique. You can't do it in film. You can't do it in books, and everything has its place, but video games are, you know, obviously the newest form. I am extremely passionate about the way that video games tell stories and the kinds of stories that video games can tell. And I had to say that's my absolute favorite stuff. If I could do like full motion capture video game work every day, I'd be happy.
Okay. Educate me. What's full motion capture video?
Oh, so if you've ever seen the I'm sure you've seen like behind the scenes footage of video games where somebody's walking around in the most unflattering leotard suit you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Light bulbs on it. They look like light bulbs. They're not actually light bulbs, but that. So like the camera is capturing your full motion performance and your voice at the same time. And in some cases, your facial expressions, and then sort of laying that over a character in a game. So I've done that for a couple of projects now, and it's just awesome. You get to really just act, and it's, even more interesting, I think, not that I haven't done any on-camera acting, but it's more creatively fulfilling, because like you have to pretend. There's no props, right? You just got to pretend what's around you. It's like you're playing as a kid again. It's great.
Have you taken acting classes?
I didn't take any, I have no formal acting training until I moved to LA and I started taking some workshops. I don't know if you would consider that acting classes. Mm-hmm. I did about 6 months ago, take a little course in acting from the, I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember I can't remember my own school.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It'll come to you.
I can't remember it. The Acting Center. The Acting Center LA.
Cool.
It's run by Tamara Meskimen, who's Jim Meskimen's wife. He's a pretty popular impressionist. And I took like a little 6 week thing with them. And I've taken a couple of improv.
Yeah, I would think improv would be really good for, I don't know why, but for video games.
But am I a trained theater actor? No.
I actually feel like that can get in your way. At least for me, when I started in voiceovers, I trained at Strasbourg here. And then you get in a booth. And for like a whole year, I didn't book anything. It's like, what's wrong with me? Well, it's acting on steroids. And you have to be super real. You're not speaking to the person in the 100th row. And everything is now really real. So if you can just be a real person, that's what matters.
Yeah, there's no shortage of people in this world that are there to tell you what they think you should do. And sometimes entering into it, not knowing any of that, can be very liberating. It's clearly worked for me. But once, the way I did it was once I kind of like got established in the way I felt my way and intuited my way through acting. Now, when I do get involved with classes and workshops and teachers, I can look at it with a critical eye because I'm never going to take, no one should ever take anything whole hog from any instructor. I've always taken little bits and pieces from everybody I've run across, and my sort of intuition over the 2 years prior to me taking any classes at all kind of helped me figure out like, no, that doesn't jive. Or yeah, I can use that. I can put that in my tool belt.
Cool. So tell me about the process of voicing the character Fox McCloud in the video game Star Fox Zero.
So to be clear, it wasn't the video game Star Fox Zero. It was a vignette that Nintendo made.
Thank you.
To accompany it. So it's actually more of an animation role. But it went over so well with fans that more people remember it than the game in some instances. Like I get a lot of people like saying like, oh yeah, Star Fox Zero, The Battle Begins, which is the name of the animation, was like the best thing ever. So so it was a little movie, I guess you could call it. It was really cool. I didn't expect the audition. I had no idea what I was auditioning for. It started out as like a voice match because Mike West, who voices Fox in the last couple of video games, I had no idea who I was voice matching, but I guess I sounded enough like him that they brought me in for this. Super exciting. Like the day before, I found out that I had gotten something. And they were like, blah, 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 multiple characters, such and such. And usually when I see multiple characters, it's like, okay, I'm going to be pedestrian A and man B. That's okay. Needs to be done, but it's not particularly exciting. But it turned out that that was like a can letter that they sent me with the NDA. And then the NDA said Nintendo on it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then they didn't send me anything until the night before the session.
So wait, at the audition, did you get the sides in advance?
What I got for the audition was a bunch of MP3 files. And they wanted you to match the MP3 files. So like I would just kind of listen and pair it back and what I thought was that person's voice.
Gotcha. Okay, so shifting back to actually booking the job, you didn't know till you got to the session.
I didn't know until the night before when I opened up they're like, here are the sides for you to review. By the way, you're playing the role of Fox McCloud. And I was like, what? What? I started yelling at my wife. I was like, I really did not expect it at all. I had been in LA for like 6 months. And then they hand me Fox McCloud and tell me to come work with like two people from Nintendo and a director that worked on Tomb Raider. And
oh my God.
I was like, what is happening right now? And I booked it myself. It was like, it was something that had just kind of like fallen into my lap. And it was just this weird thing. Ton of fun. The project got incredible feedback from fans, millions of views on YouTube. And I don't know. I hope they bring me back as Fox.
So did you go to you went to the studio to record this?
Yeah, I went to a studio in Burbank, actually.
And were there other actors that were there at the session? with you?
No, it was recorded as a dub. So you never dub with other people. It's just you were like, I was dubbing over picture because it had already been produced in Japan. So it was just me.
Very cool. And most video games now, are you just recording by yourself or are you with a group of other talents?
For motion capture, you're acting in the scene with a bunch of other people. Mm-hmm. So I just finished production on a game that I think is going to be announced in the next couple of weeks, where every scene I was with a bunch of other people and it's capturing your voice at the same time. So that makes its way into the game for like the cutscenes and stuff, the cinematic experiences. And then usually you go into the studio by yourself to record the rest of the in-game dialogue.
Wow. Do you know Kay Best by chance?
I do. Kay is wonderful.
Yeah, she was. I actually interviewed her for my podcast as well. And she's so lovely. But she's she's in your world. Have you done any video work with her yet?
I actually used to be in a workout group with her. We used to kind of get together every Wednesday and run through animation and video game stuff and just practice with each other. And Everett Oliver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And if you haven't talked to Sissy, you need to because she's phenomenal.
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
She is a voice actress, has been in a bunch of stuff, won a BAFTA for her work on a game called Firewatch, which was excellent.
She's great. All right. I want to meet her. But I also want to talk about your other life, which is your sci-fi author.
Yeah.
Specifically the Epic Failure series, where when you're writing, do you hear the character voices in your head?
You know what? I didn't really until I started doing the audiobooks. So I do my own audiobooks.
Okay.
And that kind of developed it for me. And now I can't not hear like the way I think of these characters' voices sound. But no, I didn't really have like a concept before I started doing the audiobooks.
That is so cool. So do you have another book coming out?
So Epic Failure it's the Epic Failure trilogy. So there's three books. First book was 2016. The second book was 2017. The third book's been written for quite some time, but publication schedules as they are, it may not come out until 2019, but it's done. I've moved on to other projects.
Okay.
Whenever it comes out, hopefully sooner rather than later.
And do you have some more stories in your arsenal that are going to be coming out after that?
I do. I kind of took a step back from writing for a little while, just trying to like get my, you know, every once in a while, I like to pare everything down to the, mm-hmm. to the scraps and then build it back up again to make sure, because I have a tendency to take on too much. We had a new baby last September, a bunch of new work coming up. Now we're thinking of, you know, moving houses and stuff like that. So I kind of stepped back from everything except voiceover and then some personal stuff and slowly building it back up. So right now I'm kind of on hiatus from writing, but I have ideas are cheap, as they say. So there are plenty of books in this head.
Right. You got to get them down. Very cool. So how can people learn more about you?
Well, I'm all over the interwebs on social media and stuff. So it's pretty much, I'm the only Joe Zija around. So joezija.com, Twitter/JoeZija, Facebook, joe.zija, Instagram, Joe Zija, YouTube, Joe Zija. It's just, yeah. Just
Joe Zija. You're the man. Yeah. Well, my last question for you is, Maya Angelou says, words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with deeper meaning. What do you hope your overall voice conveys in life as well as in your work?
You know, like I said earlier, the whole storytelling aspect or the way that we learn about each other, the way that we as humans explore different points of view that are not our own is through stories. And anytime you read or experience somebody else's point of view, it widens your point of view on like what humanity really is. It connects us all. It makes you realize that the people around you are very much like you, and your similarities are much greater than your differences. So with my voice, especially in the cinematic work I do in games and anime and stuff like that, that's what I hope. I hope that the characters I portray help people feel more connected to the people around them.
I love that. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
It's been fun.
Thank you. Be well.
Take care.
Bye.
Join me next week, where I'll be talking with co-owner of Abacus Entertainment here in NYC, Mr. Bruce Croenberg. Bruce will share how voiceovers serendipitously found him, how he's seen the industry shift,
and how Abacus Entertainment supports the voiceover community through educational classes, audition coaching, demo production, and way more. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.